This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Overnight, let's not delay and get right to the former Tiger great Jacob Hester, who joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome in, Jacob. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you. Did this news come as a surprise, do you think, to most LSU people?
I think the timing of it came as a surprise. I think all along LSU fans expected at least one of these quarterbacks, possibly two, to transfer and move on. Weren't quite sure who the two would be. I'd say Narcisse and McMillan were probably the two biggest candidates. But after a Saturday scrimmage when all four quarterbacks kind of got equal playing time, especially with the ones, Coach Ogeron was complimentary of all. Surprising. I mean, you're talking about class starting on a Monday, and here we are, two quarterbacks off the roster, possibly.
Has Joe Burrow been that impressive?
I think Joe Burrow has been impressive. I think his chalkboard skills when he first got here and he started going through protections and assignments and things like that, I think that impressed the offensive staff. I think he's made plays on the field. I thought all the quarterbacks, I was at the scrimmage on Saturday, I thought they all made a couple of plays for themselves. None of them had a turnover, things like that. But, you know, you got to assume maybe there's a depth chart or some kind of thing that came out and the quarterbacks kind of saw the silver lining maybe and decided to go elsewhere.
Jacob Hester is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at JacobHester22, at JacobHester22. And he is obviously the former LSU grade, played in the NFL as well, the Chargers and Broncos. It is remarkable. We are so used to seeing, even if there is a struggle at quarterback, a definitive LSU run game return. And I'm not saying they're going to be bad in the run game, but there is just nothing that we know for a fact returning in that scrimmage and throughout fall camp. Have you been able to grasp how the run game is developing that might help a Joe Burrow ease into it against Miami?
Well, no, it's a great point. And fans have been saying, you know, since 1997, when Kevin Falk was a running back at LSU, you've always had a guy coming back who's had, you know, carries in the SEC, who's had a touchdown in the SEC and things like that. And you don't have that this year. Now, like you said, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a bad running game, but you don't know what to expect. And I think the history of LSU running backs is kind of playing into some of this panic from people that follow the program. And going back to Lowell Narcisse, he was a guy that a lot of Tiger fans kind of expected to have some sort of a wildcat red zone goal line type package that was going to put into the offense for him to help out in that running game. And now with the news of him transferring, that takes that option away. So they're going to be leaning heavy on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a true sophomore, and Nick Brissett, a guy who's been here a long time. He's a senior but hasn't got those carries because he was behind two guys named Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis.
They're pretty good, as it turns out, yeah.
Hey, if I asked you what's more possible this year, 10 wins for LSU or 6 losses?
I'll be honest with you. I think this is a talented roster. I know on offense they've got questions all over the place. They've got position battles at every single spot outside of, you know who your number one receiver, Giles, is going to be. You know your number one tight end, Morrow. And you know your left tackle, Charles. And you probably have a better idea now, obviously, as a quarterback. But you've got position battles all over the place. But saying that, I really think they have a chance to be a top-5 defense. They've got some guys returning. Kalavon Chaisson has a chance to be a guy who breaks Arden Key's single sack record. Dave Aranda in year 3. I think that's all positive stuff. I think the defense keeps LSU in every single football game that they'll be playing in this year. And so I can't see a team this talented with this defense losing 6 games. And so I'm not saying sitting here saying they're going to win 10 games, but in that scenario, I'd say 10 games because, look, the schedule's brutal. I'm sure you guys have talked about it many times. There's some teams in the SEC, Tennessee, Auburn, A&M, LSU, that have brutal stretches in their schedule. I think the one positive LSU has in their schedule is most of those difficult games outside of the Auburn game are at home. And so they're going to have some surprise wins. I think every SEC team usually has those. And I think the defense, like LSU's been for really the last decade, is going to lead that team.
Former LSU great Jacob Hester with us. Before you go, the man sitting here to my left, we have not made our official Super Bowl picks, but I think he's leaning to one of your former teams in the AFC with the L.A. Chargers.
Well, I did last year, Jacob, full disclosure, and they start 0-4, and so they let me down. But the way they played in the second half of the season, I think they're going to be really good. If they can stay, I mean, these injuries are just catastrophic to keep piling up.
If they could have snuck into the playoffs last year, and this is not even a homer prediction, if they would have snuck into the playoffs last year, they would have made a lot of noise. I mean, they blew some of those games right there at the end of the year. The Chiefs game comes to mind to not get into the playoffs, but look, they've got two edge rushers that are some of the best in the league with Ingram and Bosa. Phillip Rivers, you know what you're going to get from him. Keenan Allen's going to be a healthy receiver. But, yeah, you're right, man. The injury bug has hit them every single year. If they stay healthy, I'm with you. I think the Chargers might be the team to beat in the AFC. They've got a lot going for them. But, man, they're just a team that in the past 20 years, it seems like, cannot find a way to stay healthy. So we'll see what happens.
All right, so the news out of Baton Rouge, Loyal Narcisse and Justin McMillan announcing they're transferring. So it is down to two scholarship quarterbacks. I mean, is that a concerning number? I know we're bouncing around. We're back to LSU now, but is that a concerning number? You're only going to play two normally, but, I mean, you just got no margin for error now as far as injury goes or a quarterback just not panning out.
Right, and that's going to be the big question. And I actually just interviewed Matt Flint on SiriusXM this morning because the year we won it in 07, we had Matt Flynn on scholarship. We had Ryan Perilou on scholarship. And Andrew Hatch, who hadn't yet earned a scholarship, was the third quarterback on that team. And, there was a couple of plays he played in the season. But for the most part, if you get to your third quarterback anyways, you're probably in trouble in the Southeastern Conference, right? Doesn't matter if it's a walk-on. Doesn't matter who it really is. Usually 9 times out of 10, that guy is not going to be ready to play anyways, but they do have a transfer from Tennessee Tech, Sales, the kid's last name. And look, no disrespect, Tennessee Tech, it's a different level, but you do have somebody who has experience in college football as a number three. And look, the way the college football world works now, especially at the quarterback position, guys transfer all the time. It seems like every day we're hearing news of a quarterback transferring. And I started to do some research last night. There's a couple schools across the country that are in the same boat. They've got two scholarship quarterbacks, and they've got a walk-on for their third-team guy or a guy who, maybe was a lower end of the food, hadn't played a whole lot. So it's not uncharted waters here. But, look, you're a couple plays away from playing a walk-on. I think everybody realizes that. But you've got to worry about your first two guys first.
We were just talking about Perilou a minute ago in this conversation because I went to school at Jacksonville State. When he got there, he balled out. I mean, that guy could play, man.
Oh, he was a guy, man. He was a guy with a lot of talent. I mean, a lot of people forget. SEC championship, national championship year. Matt Flynn's out. Ryan Perilou starts that game, wins SEC championship game MVP. And he was a guy, man. It's always a guy you wonder what could have happened if he would have been able to kind of keep playing and stay here at LSU and have a career here. He's a talented guy. And, goes down to Jacksonville State, has a good career there, plays a couple years in the practice squad, gets a Super Bowl ring. But, Ryan Perilou at LSU, if he could have stayed his entire 4 years, you wonder what could have happened.
All right, follow Jacob on Twitter, at JacobHester22. He's very kind with his time, so go follow him on Twitter. Jacob, thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, guys.
All right, buddy. Talk to you.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good. Auburn wins 22-19. The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.